Welcome to the Spirit of the Delaware Valley, a special presentation of Holy Spirit Radio. And now, here's your host, Dave Parker.
Hello, this is Dave Parker with Holy Spirit Radio, and you're listening to another edition of the Spirit of the Delaware Valley. It's been a long time, a year and a half, more or less, that since I've done one, and I just wanted to welcome our listeners, and applaud you for sticking with Holy Spirit Radio through and EWTN, through all the national programs and the local programs, and I hope and pray and am glad that you are well and survived COVID. And how I usually start is I want to read the St. Augustine's Prayer to the Holy Spirit. I have three gentlemen joining me in studio today, and we're going to recite the St. Augustine's Prayer to the Holy Spirit. So, gentlemen, if you grab your cards, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Breathe in me, O Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may all be holy. Act in me, O Holy Spirit, that my work too may be holy. Draw my heart, O Holy Spirit, that I love what is holy. Strengthen me, O Holy Spirit, to defend all that is holy. Guard me then, O Holy Spirit, that I always may be holy. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. So I just want to welcome aboard these three gentlemen, and I'll start with Mr. Ed Klenk. And Ed has been on before, and Ed's here today to talk about basically three things. He has been involved with Manna Philly, which many of our listeners know, and also A Baby's Breath, which is strong and integral in the pro-life movement in the Philadelphia area. And he's going to introduce a little bit later on a third thing, and it's called Prayers Unite the World, which is its origins, are basically in the Philly area. I'm going to go on and introduce one of our other guests. It's Edmund Neidert III, a.k.a. Spider. Now, many of you who are listeners may know Spider. I don't know. A great man, to a great holy man, and strong in the Lord. Spider, you want to say hi?
Hello there.
All right, and then we'll get back over to Spider later, and we're also going to talk throughout the conversation about the Knights of Columbus. Spider is a fourth degree knight, as is Tom Hendricks. Okay, he's a fourth degree knight, and they are joining me to join in this conversation about all these topics, but maybe focus and hone in on the Knights and what a great organization the Knights of Columbus is. So, but let me turn back to you, Ed Klenk. And if you want to, we're going to kick off with Manna Philly. I know that COVID, shut everybody down, and we all know that. I don't want to belabor that. But briefly, how did it affect Man Up going into this past March 2021? Right. What happened there?
Exactly. In 2019, we were very fortunate to be able to have our Man Up conference out at Newman University. The conference went off without a hitch approximately 4 days before the state got shut down. So we were probably
yes.
the last large event in the Philadelphia area that was allowed to operate. In 2020, we did try to, our aim was to hold it again live, if at all possible. And as you may remember, COVID was only supposed to last a couple months, and then it dragged into the summer. Then it started to wane in September. So we were actively trying to have an in-person event for 2020. We had a location, we had a date, we had speakers all lined up. Then the spike hit after Thanksgiving, and we had to all of a sudden pull back the reins and say it will be impossible to hold this thing in person because of the danger and the health issue related to COVID. So we did end up having a virtual event, and we still had a wonderful lineup of people, and I was surprised at how well attended it was. We had over 900 to 1,000 men sign up and who were online that day March 6th, last March.
Yes.
To listen to Father Mike Schmitz, Colonel Tom Mannion, Steve Javy, who's a former referee in the NBA.
Yes.
And now is a deacon over at St. Andrew's Church in Newtown. Mm-hmm. So we had a wonderful lineup of people that we were able to present virtually. Mm-hmm. And the great thing about it was we had little communities throughout the diocese. Even some high schools had invited, the guidance counselors or religion teachers had invited some of their students in for a small, maybe 10 or 12 person group. I know our parish, St. Robert Bellarmine in Warrington, we had about 18 men in gather in socially distancing, of course.
Of course.
All the protocols. Wearing masks.
Yes.
But we...
hand sanitizer.
we watched everything online, and it really worked out well, especially given the restrictions that we had to deal with and the limitations that we had.
And you guys had to pivot. I mean... Pretty fast. I mean, you had to make that decision. When was that decision made to go virtual? But it was still
mid-December.
Mid-December.
I mean, that's how. I mean, we were all gung ho to have it in March, thinking that this thing was going to phase out before then.
Mm-hmm.
But it never did. In fact, it did the reverse, unfortunately.
Exactly. Well, I remember I was one of those 900 and. How many people? I was sitting at my kitchen table.
Good.
You know, I dialed in, had good connection that day.
it actually worked.
And it was good.
It worked out well because not only could dads sit down at their TVs or their computers and watch this, but we've heard anecdotal stories of families, the mom joining them, the teenagers.
In the living room.
Their kids on
the big
coming
screen.
In. We were able to watch that, yes.
Oh, yes.
So, I mean, I'm saying we had between 900 and 1,000, but in reality, we may have had more from those who joined in.
Exactly.
I just know how many paying guests I had.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, look at the year it was. So, I mean, having 900 and almost 1,000 and then multiply that, by those you can't capture in the data.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, what an impact. I mean, you found a way.
Yeah.
You know, and in one of the worst years that the U.S. has ever had to basically, you found your way through,
you and
the Man Up staff or, those in charge.
It does speak of the need, the hunger, and the willingness of Catholic men to get together, which is so critical for our church today.
Yes.
We need men in our parish, and I'm sure Tom and Ed will address this too. We need men to step up to once again take responsibility for their faith.
Well, I'm going to ask Tom, and then Edmund. You know, what are your thoughts on that?
Ed, I actually watched Man of Philly up at St. Agnes up in Sellersville, and really had a good time. I did sign up and pay though, but rather than stay at home by myself, they invited me to attend. That's one of my councils that I cover. They invited me to attend it with them. So I didn't realize St. Robert Bellarmine had something going on that day because that's part of my council, the Knights of Columbus. But it was really, I've been attending now for the last 4 years. And as a field agent with the Knights, we actually had a booth down at Man of Philly at Newman University. And really got to meet a lot of new people. Actually recruited some new Knights into our organization from that Man of Philly.
What would you, as a recent attendee of a Man Up, how did that impact you, do you feel?
I will not miss it again. As long as you keep having it, I will be there. It's just, like I say, I'm 71 now, but I was a convert to Catholicism when I was 50. Back then, it was first, I didn't... joined the Knights of Columbus. I thought there were a bunch of men walking through town with a feathered hat, a cape, and a sword, not realizing who they really were.
Yes.
But eventually I joined the Knights of Columbus, and it has changed my life totally, and it's because they're so active in as a Catholic faith with the men. And that's like I say, as Ed said, we need more and more men to participate in Man of Philly. We need more and more men to join the Knights of Columbus, because the more we get, the more we can do.
It says for the Knights, our mission, together we're empowering Catholic men to live their faith at home, in their parish, at work, and in their community. Now, Spider, what's your take, or what, from your perspective on the Knights and Man Up Philly, your thoughts?
Today, you know, we need more young men really step up to the plate, get in the batter's box, you know, be focused, and be focused on our Lord and the Eucharist and everything. And in front of that and all and everything, pick up the weapon, the rosary, and pray your rosary and all, and be a man, and step up and help the family and the youth today. And this is what we need to do. And the Knights of Columbus provide a lot of programs and all the thing for the baby's breath and also for pro-life movement, the march. You know, they provide signs and everything.
The March for Life.
March of Life.
Yes.
And everything. And having the affiliates for the radio background and EWTN. The other networks don't show this.
Absolutely
and,
not.
And everything with the Knights of Columbus also do with the pro-life movement, the ultrasounds and everything and all. The raffles that we give and everything and all, the money stays into the community and helps the community's interest.
Exactly. You know? Well, you mentioned a sports metaphor, but you are an athlete. I mean, you were an athlete early on, and you still have lacrosse.
I did lacrosse. I did Princeton University, Face-Off College Yearbook. I got my conversion up at Mount St. Mary's Emmitsburg with Monsignor Hugh J. Phillips.
From where?
Bless my lacrosse stick, my palms. Mount St. Mary's University.
Okay.
You know, the Grotto of Lords of America.
Yeah.
There. And I realized that the golden arrow prayer, you know, for me, you know, God the Father is the provider, Jesus is compassion, and the Holy Spirit's the enabler. And that's the three rings of fire. Mm-hmm. And to me, when I did Pennsbury Wrestling, there's three periods.
He's done it all, folks, I'm telling you. This man's amazing.
And, you know, it's just a miracle. And then scouting football for the Chamonix, also taking pictures of photographer. But I'm also doing ninth grade soccer with Dolbert at Pennsbury. Mm-hmm. But I had to learn. Busted mother, what do you want me to do?
Yeah.
He says, I'm praying the rosary next door, and the captain says, you know, going through a divorce and something like that. And he said to me that, I need you to take pictures of my son coming through the turnpike, as I was a toll collector, you know. And he said to me, he wants you to take pictures, you know, for the Neshaminy football team. I said, well, I'm doing Pennsbury soccer. You know, I'm not doing ninth grade for Medill Bear. And I built that program up with Joe Sheenan, who was at St. Francis Cabrini in Fairless Hills. And his son was the head coach.
Was that the husband of Midge?
Yeah,
Sheenan?
Midge and Joe. And I used to stay Midge and Joe. And Joe said, you got to help my son. Yeah. You know, I said, I've been doing that for 2 years. He didn't even know it.
Yeah. Well, I say that, I mean, for to expand this. I go to St. Francis Cabrini Parish in Fairless Hills. And Spider is talking about Medill Bear, Pennsbury, down in that neck of the woods of Bucks County. Right. And very, very involved. But again, but the Knights, as it says in its mission, community, church, faith. And Spider, you said there's a need to bring younger men in. Well, I mean, it could be any age. But I mean, but I know the focus is on enticing, you know, what's it going to take? Rhetorical question. What's it going to take to entice and convince and, you know, show these young men, you know, individually and their families or whatever, in your estimation, what has to be done by the Knights? And maybe they're doing it, and Tom could talk about that. But, you know, I mean, what's the key? How do you crack the code to get more people in?
I would say that right now is the programs that they have and all the DVDs and stuff like that we would show, you know, today. And it might, you know, entice them. And not only that, you might have a knight or something like that that might be a deacon or something like that.
Yes.
And you might find someone even might go into religious life.
Yes.
You know, and that to me is a blessing and it's a grace. You know, if you would get that. you know. And the insurance program is about the you know the, you know.
You read my mind. What a scary thought! But I was just going to segue from into Tom, who is the master of insurance.
And everything today,
Knight's Insurance.
You know, life insurance and everything and all. It's to have that and all. You know, to have that security blanket around you.
Yeah.
And you can always reach out to your brother Knights. You know. And everything.
Well, let me do Tom. Yeah, I mean, Tom, could you speak to that? I mean, there are the like the pragmatic benefits, insurance, and everything else.
Yeah, Dave.
It is a social community but it's a godly organization.
You hit the nail right on the head with that. It's at Knights of Columbus, and again, I work for the Knights of Columbus as a field agent in the insurance. People don't realize that they are a Fortune 800 company. They're one of the larger insurance companies in North America. They are also the most financially secure insurance company in North America. And when you invest in their insurance program, you know your money is going to be invested with companies that have Catholic beliefs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Another thing, for young people, you always hear, I'm too busy, I don't have time, I've got four kids at home. They have a brochure called the 24-hour night.
Mm-hmm.
It's 24 hours a year. When you join the Knights of Columbus every month, you get a magazine, the Columbia magazine, which has some fantastic articles in it. Well, it takes you a half hour to read that magazine, so that's six of your 24 hours. You attend one church function, help out, that's another 3 or 4 hours. You're up to 10 hours. And you do one other event during the year, and you've done your 24 hours. Plus, you're attending meetings, so if you attend 3 or 4 meetings a year, that's another 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually excuses, not reasons, not to join the Knights.
Yes.
And that's what we're trying to do. And the Knights have realized that, too, to where you can now join the Knights of Columbus electronically, online, as an e-member. And eventually, when you have time, join the council. But even if you're an e-member, you still have all the benefits that the Knights of Columbus give you. You can take part of their insurance program. And they do have the best insurance company in the world for kids. And people don't realize that your children, you have to protect them to the future, and that's what their insurance program does.
Well, I had the benefit of meeting you last week. You were up at the station, and we were preparing our mail out, you know, Dale. And I want to thank Dale and Jane for, again, this beautiful, holy apostolate. But we were getting ready for a mail out to our loyal, faithful Holy Spirit Radio family of listeners. But we were around the table in the conference room, were stuffing envelopes. And that mailer, those should be out. But I got to know you, Tom. But what really struck me, well, we were in fun, you know, there are some other guys there. But we were all enjoying this for the Lord. But your point about insurance for kids, and I have grandkids, and I've been thinking about that all weekend, you know. So that's a practical benefit. So I invite people to, well, what's a good website that people can go to right now or when they hear this? You know, what's a website that they can go on for the Knights?
KFC.org.
See? That's
so
pretty
simple,
easy, folks.
They'll tell you everything you want to know, who the Knights of Columbus are, what they stand for, what they participate in. I mean, they're in so many different ministries and activities, what their insurance program is all about. And you can also go in there and hit join now. And all you have to do is click on join now, answer a couple of questions, like I'm a practical Catholic, and then use code McGivney2020, who's our founder, Father Michael McGivney. Type in McGivney2020, and your first year dues will be waived. So they're looking to get as many people into the Knights of Columbus, because we do need the help of every Catholic gentleman in the world to participate in this, so we can keep doing more and more for our local communities.
I have a point of order. Is it McGivney 2021 or 2020?
McGivney 2020.
Okay.
Or you can use just T. Hendrix. We'll get you the same waiver of first year dues.
Okay, awesome. But now, okay, previous conversation before we went on or went into the studio here, we were talking about a compressed way what are called the degrees. So Spider, when you came in and you became a knight, there were, I mean, you went through one, two, and three. Talk about that. That's kind of old school.
When I went through that, it's like the trouble is the one, two, and the three, but a lot of people say, I don't want to go through that fourth degree, you know, with the tux and everything and all the sword, and I don't want to be responsible for that. And then, you know, today, you know, the degrees are more relaxed. Yeah. And it's more now today, it's more family oriented.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what my point about doing a compare and contrast. So you came in under the old way. And
yeah, I had a red tux,
one degree at a time.
The gloves and one degree at a time. And all, and I went through that. And after that, but the problem is that the Knights of Columbus is during those degrees that you would lose members, you know. And now we relaxed everything, and it's a lot easier today.
Not more user friendly,
100 to fill out, and you know, to have one in your hand to try to get somebody, you know, at the church.
Well,
you know,
my compare and contrast. Yeah. Now I want to go to
actually
Tom.
I can talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I want
they
you to.
Did is. One of the problems in getting young people to join the Knights was you had the first, second, third degree, charity, unity, fraternity, and then the fourth degree, which is part of the Knights of Columbus, but a separate group, which was patriotism, which to me is the most beautiful degree of all of them. But the problem with that was you get somebody 28, 29, 30, a wife, three, four kids with sports, arts and crafts, music. When you did one of those degrees, it would take... It was committing 5 or 6 hours from the time you left your house, drove to where the degree was, went through the degree, had a little social afterward, and got back home. Well, young people didn't have that time with their life, plus jobs today are not 9 to 5 anymore. So the Knights, realizing that, they condensed them down to there's only 2 degrees now. You make your first through third, it's all 1 degree. Every council can do the degree, it's very simple. And the whole degree takes about 45 minutes.
Excellent.
So you're a full-fledged knight in less than an hour.
Yes. Well, thank you. Gentlemen, I'm going to take a break here and say, you're listening to Holy Spirit Radio, 1570 AM in Doylestown in Philadelphia and 1420 in Coatesville and Chester County. You're listening to The Spirit of the Delaware Valley with Dave Parker, your host, and my fine guests, Tom Hendrick, Edmund Spider Niedert, the third, Niedert. I'll hear about that more later, and Ed Klank. So we'll be back after a short break. Thank you. Welcome back to Spirit of the Delaware Valley, and this is your host, Dave Parker. I want to welcome you back, and I want to reintroduce our guests, these great guests of mine, Mr. Ed Klank, Edmund Niedert III, a.k.a. Spider, and Tom Hendrick. And so where we left off, you know, Ed Klank was giving, had given an update of what happened with Man Up Philly before. Then we went into the Knights of Columbus from Spider and Ed, or excuse me, Spider and Tom, you know, how, what a benefit it is, and it's a great organization and to join. So I'm going to shift back to Mr. Ed Klank so we can talk about where Man Up Philly is, you know, in the planning stages for this upcoming year, provided COVID doesn't put another crimp in the system here.
Exactly. We are in the process of planning for March of 2022, and we're hoping to have a good lineup of speakers, which a brilliant lineup if we can get them. We're waiting for final confirmations on several of the speakers, but we're also making sure that we can find the location that is comfortable with hosting over 1,000 men. Mm-hmm. We're probably hoping to return to Newman University, but if you never know in this atmosphere where they stand at any given time. And as you know, regulations change frequently with the state, what they require. But we're hoping to have it beginning of March, and it will once again be held at a large location, either Newman or someplace just like that, that we can get the men together for a day of prayer, adoration, mass, and inspirational talks, mm-hmm. which is...
Reconciliation, did you say?
And reconciliation, thank you. We offer that also. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful day, almost like a retreat day for the men of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia.
If I can interject, I remember my first one, and I was so pumped at the end of the day. I was tired, but I was so pumped. And it carried over into Sunday the next day, and some men from St. Francis Cabrini Parish in Fairless Hills, and I went. And, I mean, it was just what a euphoric feeling, you know, just a high, a spiritual high, you know. It's such a holy and blessed event. And it's also, sure. like the Knights do great work, you know, it's the mission of Man of Philly is to get men back into the fold. I mean, you may have been a cradle Catholic and fallen away. You may be and reverting, as it were. I'm a convert, like Tom Hendrick is. I was a Lutheran, and I converted long time ago. But I mean, just we need that infusion and that support from other men, you know, in our, be it Man of Philly, the Knights, and so I just wanted to put a plug in for that. So
there's a real need for this conference, and what keeps me working on this, and I'm getting older, so I could easily say my time is up. I hand it over to somebody younger. But when I see those confession lines at Man Up Philly, and I see hundreds and hundreds of men, some of them who haven't been to confession in 20, 30, and 40 years, mm-hmm. It makes it all worthwhile. Mm-hmm. To see them return to the Lord after having been away, and sometimes for reasons they may not even be clear on what it is, but Man Up Philly, there's something about that day, something special about that day that tugs at the heart of men.
Beautiful.
And to see,
beautifully said.
And to see men together praying the rosary, praying together adoration of the most blessed sacrament. The camaraderie that takes place there, and the feeling that I'm not alone, and that there are a thousand other men like me who are going through the same thing. It's a very consoling and comforting spirit that comes out of that conference.
Absolutely. And I want to go back to the adoration. And for those of you men who haven't been there, Mark Forrest,
yes,
superb tenor. I just want to digress a little bit and explain Ed Klink, you know, what he does. And it's such an awesome adoration.
Mark Forrest has an incredible story of his family. He brings his family in. He talks about his children, several of them who were born with handicaps. Some have died. I believe two of his children have passed away. So he's been through a lot of grueling family issues over this time. But he still finds solace. He still finds peace in those quiet moments with the Eucharist, where he's with Christ, and he can be one with Christ. And he's finding comfort and peace. And he brings that, and he exudes that and when he sings during the adoration and tells his story. There's not a dry eye in the place by the end of that hour.
I can attest to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, absolutely. Well said, Ed. Well, thank you for the update, and more to follow on Man Up Philly. You know, we're in August of 2021. Let's all hope and pray that people get vaccinated who aren't, and that this Delta variant is subdued and vanquished. So we can go back to true normal, whatever, you know, quote unquote. So right now I want to move on with Ed Klink. So that Man Up Philly was just one third of what what we're going to talk about, and besides the nights with Edmund and Tom. But another cause that Ed Klenk is involved with and has been for some time, he can elaborate, is it's called a baby's breath. So what is a baby's breath, Ed, and where is it, and tell us about it.
Sure. A baby's breath is a crisis pregnancy center, or actually a series of centers now. It has grown. Started back in the year 2000 by Karen Patoda. She had an experience when she was younger in college of a friend of hers who had gotten herself pregnant and went to Planned Parenthood. And what she found at Planned Parenthood was just, let's get rid of it. It's nothing but a clump of cells. The whole diatribe that
that mentality that they
put out, mm-hmm. and don't even give comfort or any kind of counseling to a young woman who may not really be considering an abortion, but pretty much are convincing them that this is the way to go.
The only way. The only way. Yeah. Yes.
And Karen was very affected by that. Episode and when she after she had her first child and held the child in her arms and saw the great love that's there and the tenderness and the union between mom and child began to realize we have to do something to let women know that there are alternatives, that they are not alone, and that abortion is not the answer. And so she started a baby's breath center, and I believe the first one was in Norristown area, and it has eventually grown that we have centers in Wayne, we have centers in Collegeville, Phoenixville, Norristown, and up in Warminster. Mm-hmm. And at each of these centers, they provide women with a great number of resources so that, and also support that they realize that abortion doesn't have to occur. You can be supported. We can help you through this. It's a good thing. You have a life within you. And that's what the mission of a baby's breath is, as Karen says, is basically to have be able to enable a mother to see her child take his or her first breath.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Wow.
And
I was going to say, well, and so often, I mean, that the picture that is painted, that it's the only solution, that is the milieu or the environment that a baby's breath people and counselors are and those volunteers, you create a whole new environment of love and understanding. My understanding is, and where because oftentimes these young mothers, unwed mothers, are scared, mm-hmm. and they think they're going to take the easy out, or the because it's not portrayed or given to them as what you guys do. But I mean, talk about that. And once they discover, through the love, the enfoldment of love and nurturing, and it's not a, how dare you be in this position, what were you thinking? It's more of an understanding, compassion. Is that correct?
That's correct. The at a baby's breath, it's non-denominational, I want to say that, even though we have a strong support from the Catholic Church and the Catholic parishes, mainly the counselors and the nurses and the professionals who help us are non-judgmental. We don't tell a person, well, you shouldn't have gotten yourself in this.
Well, that's the word I was looking for. Thank you. Yes, precisely.
We're non-judgmental. Totally non-judgmental. We're there to help, to be a compassionate shoulder to lean on, to be an aid to you if you need whatever you need before the baby's delivered and also once the baby's delivered. One of the things that we offer are our free pregnancy tests, free ultrasounds, thanks to the Knights of Columbus. Mm-hmm. The Knights of Columbus have donated ultrasound machines to each of our facilities, and we have nurses and technicians, professionals who are willing to
offer
their time and service in order, so that it's amazing when I'm told that once a woman sees the life that's in her, they realize it's not a clump of cells. This is a child, and many times that's what almost a pivotal point in her decision to keep the child.
I was just going to use that term, pivot or pivotal. Let me pivot over to the Knights over here. Speak to the work, the loving work. I mean, that, you know, the fund drives and who do you contribute to? Like a baby's breath. I mean, speak to what Ed was saying.
Well, we contribute to all the pro-life centers. The Knights of Columbus came out of the program approximately 10 years ago to start placing ultrasound machines into these pro-life centers. And our goal originally was maybe get 100 out there, and then a couple hundred, then 500. Well, the way it works is if a council raises half of the money, Supreme will match it. You're looking at around $30,000 to $35,000 per machine.
Mm-hmm.
So, to date, there are now over 1,400 machines.
Well, that's beautiful.
Placed throughout the country.
Yeah. Yes.
And what I learned is talking to some of the technicians at these centers is when they do the ultrasound, it's when the mother hears the baby's heartbeat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what changes it all.
Yeah.
It's just so powerful.
Spider, Edmund, do you want to contribute? I mean, I know you are very pro-life, so what are your thoughts?
Well, to be on the front lines at the abortion clinic, Lewis Drive, or down at Comley, you know, and doing the rosary for the unborn, and to see, you know, my fellow Knights there and people that are pro-life and all and everything, it's great to know that we can get them to come out of that abortion clinic and have alternatives to change their lives and to have that child, you know,
indeed,
coming to life and all and everything. And to see that, and to see them mothers that come down on, you know, marching down Constitution Ave, you know, for the pro-life march, and with that baby and that child, you know, that was thinking about aborting it, and then to see that, you know, it brings, you know, somebody to have new life within them, and to have, you know, a child, you know, and to get that child, you know, to grow up with Catholicism today is just a beautiful thing. And, you know, like I say, to have our Knights of Columbus to provide wheelchairs, whether it be ultrasound equipment or anything that you like in that Columbia magazine that you see around the world, that you always see a knight, you know, that helps
stepping up
that plate.
Yes.
You know, and then getting in that batter's box you're hitting a home run, you know, just like we're doing today with the kids at the World Series and Williamsport, you know, to see the families and the kids today, you know. And it's great. And now we're making it more relaxed for our Knights, you know, like you say, in the form, and to join the Knights and everything, and it's more family-oriented. And to see people that are pro-life. And after having that baby, we also have a rose program, and we give that for the baptism. And it's a beautiful thing to see husband and wife and that baby united to that rose. And to me, it's giving it to our Blessed Mother, you know.
Oh, amen. Amen, Edmund. All right, well, back to Ed Klink here. So, back, and baby's breath. Okay, so basically, you know, here and now, and coming up in October, I think, is going, unless you had other things you want to say about a baby's breath, but every year they have a run. Did they have it last year in COVID?
We did.
Okay.
We have a tenacious committee. Yeah. We were not going to let the COVID stop us if we could avoid it.
Mm-hmm.
Being an outside activity, we were limited to having 250 bodies there, which we managed to do. We limited the number of attendees so that we would not exceed the state mandated maximum. We asked people to socially distance. We had hand sanitizers everywhere. People wore masks. In fact, I had gotten masks from a group that I belong to called Life Runners.
Nice.
Life Runners is a group of people, obviously, who run, but they run
like yourself
for the unborn. Their intention is to raise
Ed's
awareness.
Ed's an animal, I got to say, him. He's still running. He's out there. He's putting his steps in. I'm telling you.
I do my best. Thank you.
Okay. But, I had to give a shout out to.
We do have. We were given masks out. You know, with yes. Remember the Unborn printed on them. Just to once again raise awareness. And I was amazed how many people were wanting that mask to be able to wear that.
Excellent.
But I do want to say the Run for Life is our fundraiser for the year, in which we try to raise enough money to keep the mission open. To keep the doors of our facilities open, especially the one in Warminster, where we can, we're a block and a half away from Planned Parenthood on Lewis Drive. We're one next block over.
Yeah, I've been down there too.
We're close enough to it that we have advocates, and we always could use advocates to. Be able to speak to anybody going in for an abortion, too, that there are alternatives.
Well, while we're on that, let me give a website for A Baby's Breath if someone wants to become an advocate or look into that possibility.
Sure, certainly. You can go online and to A Baby's Breath, and once you enter that, you'll go to our main webpage, and it will show you where the different centers are. Even we also have residential house that we have out in Phoenixville, a converted old convent, which we can accommodate up to six pregnant women because sometimes women are thrown out of their house. They have nowhere to go.
Yes.
This Run for Life is comment about the website. You can find out how to volunteer, or you can find out where to go to sign up for the Run for Life. It's all on our homepage, and just with a couple clicks, you can get to what you need to find out.
Yeah, easy peasy in this day and age, you know, of computers and all that stuff and the internet. So I'm very accessible, very accessible.
If I could say, I wanted to just add that I once had somebody yell at me, you know.
Ed, I can't imagine anybody yelling at you.
Well,
I cannot.
You know, I was at Planned Parenthood one day, and somebody said, you people don't care about the women. You just don't want them to have the abortion. And once they have the baby, then you forget about them. And I just wanted to say that's not true. At A Baby's Breath especially, we not only help the person with prenatal classes and parenting classes. We provide them with diapers, with clothes. We had some cribs donated to us that people needed cribs. One woman asked us if we could get a double stroller, and we got that for them. Sometimes these are donations that we get from people, and a lot of our parishes around are very generous in supplying us with help. The Knights of Columbus, we get a lot of support. So we're there for the pregnant woman in a crisis pregnancy while she's pregnant and also after. She can come back for postnatal care and things like how to diaper the baby. You know,
sure.
And
the basics.
And pick up Pampers
basic
and
or baby infant
and
care,
Huggies
yes.
while she's there. Baby clothes, we have those available. We do try to attend to the needs, but also in addition, we try to help them understand things like budgeting, having your credit score up so that you can find a rental apartment. You can apply for how to apply for jobs. Mm-hmm. If you need your GRE, we provide you with assistance.
That
with
is outstanding.
That. So do care about the person. We just don't. Are just not interested in the woman having the baby, but we care about mom and the baby and what their future will look like.
Praise God. That's what I have to say. Now, in terms of mom and the baby, but the dad, dad's involved? I mean, do you provide, or the father, if you will, counseling for them if they seek it, if they want it, if they're still in the lives of the woman?
We encourage that if at all possible. And in some instances, it's the dad who wants the child and is grateful if the mom decides to keep the child. Mm-hmm. We realize that there's an important role for dads in the care of their child.
Okay. Well, thank you. And Tom or Edmund, do you have any other comments about a baby's breath and your perspectives on the great work that a baby's breath does?
Well, one thing that really moved me, and it's actually, hopefully I can get to this so I get too emotional and start blubbering, but a couple of years ago, our council, again, it's not Baby's Breath, but Legacy of Life, which is the same type of organization as Baby's Breath.
We're familiar, and we're friends of Legacy of Life.
They have a picnic every summer.
Marie Joseph.
Yes, they have a picnic every summer for the mothers who chose life. So they asked our council to come down there and handle the cooking, run the games for them. And so my wife and I went down, and we were in charge of parking. Because down in Bristol, it's a very tight parking, so you had to make sure all the cars were lined up properly, not just scattered on the grass. Well, what was so emotional was you see a car pull up, and anywhere from 1 to 4 children get out of the car. They're all jumping and yelling and happy. Mm-hmm. Without these centers, they wouldn't be here today.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's a good testimony. Excellent.
There, and I do want to point out, too, that these aren't all like young girls or teenagers who found themselves in problem. Crisis pregnancies can occur in families. It could be a mom already the family already has 2 or 3 children.
Yes, and absolutely.
And she finds herself pregnant again. You never know the situation, and that's why I mean once again we try to be non-judgmental, but rather we're there to help in whatever situation you find yourself. A baby's breath is there to find a way to be of assistance to you.
Okay. Well, thank you, Ed. So give about the run, give the basic data if somebody is interested in wanting to run, or can they walk it too?
Can walk, you can run, you can walk, you can skip. Doesn't matter.
Exactly.
So it's actually a great morning, and I encourage people to come out. We have it's a great family event, and there's 3 activities that take place that day. There's a 5K race for the serious runner or for the everyday jogger. They can take that option. The other option is a kids' 1 mile fun run, which is a lot of fun. Those kids are so enthusiastic when they cross the finish line. Mm-hmm. And then there's a walk, a 1 mile walk for those who, like Calvin Coolidge, choose not to run. So we do have those options available. And we also have an opportunity, if you can't make it or you just don't feel like you could run or walk, we'll run or walk for you. We have memorials available.
That's right.
We have memorials available. And every year, we have about 50 memorials where people will ask us to run in memory of one of their loved ones, and we will assign a runner or a walker that name, and while they're running or walking, to remember to pray and to think about that person. Mm-hmm. So you don't even have to run. You don't even have to be there. But if interested, you register online, as I say, at A Baby's Breath. Go under events for Warminster, and it will take you right to the registration form for the Run for Life.
Okay. Well, thank you, Ed. We're starting to get somewhat short on time. Ed Klenk has another what would I call it, passion, you know, that you have.
Mission, passion,
and it's relatively new. I had heard about it, but I don't know how many of our Holy Spirit Radio family of listeners know of it. But before I do that, I'm going to give another station ID. You're listening to Holy Spirit Radio, 1570 AM in Doylestown in Philadelphia, and 1420 COJ in Coatesville and Chester County. So, Ed, tell us about the Prayers Unite the World that you're involved in and how it came about. It has a local connection.
Thank you. Prayers Unite the World was started by a friend of mine, Ed Lawrence, a retired religion teacher at Archbishop Ryan High School. And he would get, there's a number of reasons why he started it, but people would oftentimes ask him to pray. You know, they would have an intention. And how oftentimes does that happen to us? You know, please remember my son.
Absolutely.
Or my mom or this. Mm-hmm. Could you pray for them?
Yes.
Well, he combined it with another issue that he was finding, and that was the need for vocations. You know, that religious orders, even the diocesan priesthood, was having a difficulty recruiting. And a lot of times it's people don't, you know, young people didn't know who they were or what they did. So Ed came up with an ingenious idea to have a website where you could submit a prayer, and that prayer would then be sent to a prayer community. And he solicited a number of communities, such as the Pink Nuns, the Sisters of St. Basil, the Immaculate Heart Sisters, Sisters of St. Joseph. Once he got started, he kept on going. And we not only found communities locally, but also started seeking communities around the world. We have a community, a school, Pope John Paul II High School in Uganda, which is part of our community. We have a group of religious sisters in France, and their particular charism is that they invite women with Down syndrome to be a part of their community, which is the only religious community that I'm aware of in the world that allows people with Down syndrome to join. Okay. So what would happen now, we have collected over 100 different communities, schools, parishes, convents, Trappist monks, Benedictines,
well, I went
Dominicans.
On the, for my prep, my show prep, I went on to Prayers Unite the World, and wow, I mean, I kept scrolling down to all these different religious organizations that one can tap into, and I'm thinking, I know that one. But I mean, you have compiled a plethora of these communities that
and
are
we
great
have,
resources.
We have hundreds more in the wings.
I wanted to use the word plethora. That's all I wanted. Okay, go ahead.
But we have plenty. We have plenty more. We would like to, but we just have to advertise and get more prayer requests.
Exactly.
We don't want to have a community that we only give them one prayer request or two requests a month.
Well, so, you've delved into you know how the functionality, how it functions. But let me. I was doing my research and it under the. One can go to Prayers Unite the World and read about it. I went to About Us and says who we are. And if I may read this, we are a group of Catholic men and women, religious and laity, who want to share God's love with others, especially with those who are most in need of His graces. We believe that God has given His love to the world and has graced the world with religious communities who are vehicles of His love. We want to spread the good news that one way God's love is revealed is through the prayerful presence of His people. Prayers Unite the World is simply a way to light our lives with God's love.
Exactly.
So, thank you for letting me read that.
Let me just follow up on that, too. Is what happens when you submit a prayer request? Say, and I say, you please pray for John, who is has been diagnosed with colon cancer, or a prayer or something like that. That's mm-hmm. your prayer. You don't even have to identify. God knows who they are. Mm-hmm. But that prayer will be sent out to five different religious communities. It could be the Pink Sisters of Perpetual Adoration. It could be the Trappist monks, could be the Benedictines up in New York. Mm-hmm. We have all these communities.
I was struck by that.
But you'll be responsible, come right back to you saying, these are the communities that will be praying for you. What we do then, we send that prayer request out to those communities, and they'll add that to their list of prayer intentions. But in the email that comes back to you, those prayer communities are actually a link. You can click on any of those prayer communities, and it will take you right to their website. So you can say, who are the Pink Sisters? What do they do? Mm-hmm. And it will take you right there. And there you can learn what the particular charism of that religious community is. Mm-hmm. So in a way, in a very real way, we're evangelizing and doing vocation ministry all at the same time. We're making known what these communities are, which we would maybe have never known had we not gone to this website. And they can share, they can find out about that. And not only that, they have this, the comfort of knowing that there's people who they don't even know around the world who are praying for them.
Yes. Well, thank you, Ed. We have about 2 minutes left in this show of Spirit of the Delaware Valley. And if one wants to access that and get involved, Ed, what's the website? Can you give us all that basic information?
Yes. The website is basically Prayers Unite the World. And you go there, and you will be directed on how to submit a prayer request. Mm-hmm. And as I say, prayer request will be immediately responded to with the communities that will be praying for you.
And a case in point, I mean, we learn daily. Sometimes we're shocked or surprised, but someone in our family or in our parish community, friends, I learned yesterday of a gentleman who just in the last week found out that he, you know, has cancer very badly. And so I'm going to submit for him. I have prayers I want to submit for myself. And I invite our listeners, you know, go on to Prayers Unite the World. And I'm going to kind of go to a baby's breath in a different, you know, if you have anyone in your family or friends that are in a crisis situation, with a pregnancy, unwanted pregnancy. And I want to invite everybody to go visit the Knights of Columbus, website and actually go on and evangelize about all these three beautiful programs that we have at our disposal in our community. Mm-hmm. So, Tom Hendrick, in a closing, do you want to give a brief summation and request for the Knights?
Actually, I want to thank Dave Parker for having us here today, and not just the Knights of Columbus, but for all these wonderful ministries that all you listeners, all we ask you to do is get involved.
Okay.
It takes very little time.
Okay, and Edmund Neidert III, a.k.a. Spider, what do you have to say? And thank you for being here, all you gentlemen, but we have about, give it a wrap there, Spider.
Well, you know, I'm just so happy to be here with these pro-life men, you know, that are really the backbone of the family, you know, and to let the Holy Spirit come upon us and inflame our hearts and show love, that there's just the love around the world. And believe me that anyone that's Catholic that comes and to meet, you know, you could plant a seed, whether it be the Knights of Columbus, Baby's Breath, pro-life movement, anything that you could follow up on, that it's a beautiful thing that
and get
that
involved.
We have. Get involved.
Get involved.
You know.
Okay. Well, thank you, and Mr. Ed Klink, again, for all being here. And this is the first show in about a year and a half, so I appreciate everyone listening. If you want to get in touch with Holy Spirit Radio, you can call 215-345-1570 or go on our website, holyspiritradio.org. And again, this is Dave Parker, your host. Thank you for listening to The Spirit of the Delaware Valley, and see you next time. God bless.